Let's turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, shall we? We're looking at great personages of the Bible. Last week, we saw Enoch, and we saw that he was a type of the church age believer who will be caught up prior to the tribulation period, as typified by the great flood that is pictured in Genesis chapter 6 through 8. Now let's take our Bibles and look at the next character that we have been studying, and we're going to look at Noah. It was one of our characters in Vacation Bible School that we had the privilege of studying, Noah, and I'm sure he approves of our studying that particular character. Notice verse 7, by faith, yes, we're exhorted to have that faith as well. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. We're going to be studying this evening the great personage of the Bible, Noah. One Monday morning, after a barren, fruitless Sunday, D.L. Moody sat in his office totally discouraged. Sometimes preachers feel that way on Monday morning. The average pastor takes Monday morning off after the strenuous activities of the weekend. And Monday morning, sometimes preachers say, well, I fire myself on Sunday night, and on Monday morning I hire myself again. Well, D.L. Moody was kind of that way, following the pathway of despondency. He thought to himself, I take no pleasure in working for God if there is no fruit. And he was feeling sorry for himself. A Sunday school teacher, though, providentially came into his office and was visiting with him, and he said, preacher, I had a wonderful blessing. I was teaching my Sunday school class yesterday, and I was teaching the life of Noah. And he was so excited about it. So D.L. Moody, after that Sunday school teacher left, began reading the story of Noah as recorded in the book of Genesis, then spilling over into Hebrews 11 and the book of 1 Peter and the like, and studying various commentary on Noah. And he started thinking, you know, here's a man, Noah, who preached for approximately, interpretively, 120 years, and he never had a convert. As a matter of fact, the only ones that he had were his own family. But God blessed his priority. D.L. Moody began thinking, and all of a sudden the veil of discouragement just left him. The depression, the thoughts of darkness were just very, very quickly dissipated. Then when he went to a special revival meeting the following Wednesday night as he preached, one gentleman came up to him and said, Dr. Moody, I'm lost. Will you please pray for my soul? And D.L. Moody thought to himself, wow, what would Noah have thought of that? You know, the truth of the matter is, sometimes we can be following the pathway of the Lord, doing the will of the Lord, the work of the Lord. We can fall prey to discouragement as well. But you know, Noah, as we look at his life, first of all, dispensationally, we could see that Noah is a type of the nation of Israel, kept through the tribulation period. Just as the ark maintained Noah and his family through a time of great trouble and universal anguish, so Israel, believing Israel, the remnant, as it were, will be kept through the tribulation period and allow to enter into the kingdom. Don't lose your place in Hebrews, but if you turn to Jeremiah, notice a passage of Scripture that speaks about the Lord's keeping power, His preservation for His chosen people. Jeremiah chapter 30. Notice verse 5. Jeremiah 30 and verse 5. Incidentally, it's in this passage that we have the term the time of Jacob's trouble. You've heard me preach on that theme. The time of Jacob's trouble is another term for the great and terrible tribulation period. Notice Jeremiah 30 and verse 5. For thus saith the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask ye now, and see whether a man doth travail with child? Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins, as a woman in travail, and all faces are turned into paleness? Alas, for that day, that's the tribulation period, for that day is great, so that there's none like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. For it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will break his yoke from off thy neck, and will burst thy bonds, and strangers shall no more serve themselves of him. You see, the Lord is going to deliver his people. And such was a picture, dispensationally, of Noah, who was delivered from a worldwide calamity, but God preserved him. So it's interesting to see God's program with the church, pictured with Enoch, and dispensationally Noah as a picture of Israel being preserved. Now we're going to look at Hebrews 11, and just for a few moments we're going to look at five considerations of Noah's faith. We're going to see, number one, the faith of Noah. We're going to see the fear of Noah, the family of Noah, the focus of Noah, and the fortune of Noah. Those things we're going to be looking at. Now, let's take a look at the faith of Noah. Let's remind ourselves briefly as we go to prayer tonight, the faith that God would desire for us to exemplify. By the way, the faith that you need, the faith that I need to go through the trials that we face daily. Notice the faith of Noah. And it's all found, all of these 5 points are found in one little verse in the book of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7. We're going to use verse 7 as a platform, and then we'll jump back to Genesis chapter 6 in a few moments. But let's take a look at the faith of Noah. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen of yet. Keep in mind what faith is. Faith is taking God at His word, even though visibly, rationally, logically, it doesn't make sense. Many people say, well, I'll start tithing when I see and figure it out on paper that I can do it. Now, the Bible says, the just shall live by faith. Some say, well, I'll tell you what, I'm going to give myself to caring for my children at home, but you know what? I want to figure it all out as a bookkeeper and figure every aspect out. Then I'll trust the Lord in being a keeper at home as a mom. Well, the Bible talks about faith. What's faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Remember the definition of hope, confident expectation. Confidently expecting what God promises to meet our needs. The evidence, or the reality, is the idea of that word evidence. The reality of things not seen. Visualizing God's power and the reality of what He can do. And I don't use that term visualization in the New Age sense. I'm using it in the sense of obedience to His Word and trusting that God will back up His promises. By it, the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. And that's the word rhema, not graphe. Graphe is the written word. Here is the word rhema, which speaks of the spoken Word of God. You know, some people say, I believe in the Big Bang Theory. Well, let's define terms. If you're talking about some type of Big Bang by chance, without any deity, no divine intelligence or purpose or pattern, that's hogwash. But if you're talking about God spoke and bang, it happened, yes. I'll say I believe in the Big Bang. Let's define our terms. The worlds were spoken, rhema, by the spoken Word of God. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. Here's the problem with scientists. Scientists will take present, verifiable laws of physical science, and here's their mistake. They say, the way we see it now, it always was. And that's their wrong presupposition. Because they deny divine intervention. They deny that the one who made the laws of physical science also has the right to alter them. Today, children are born from their parents. Children are born with umbilical cords that were severed from their mothers. But you know what? When God spoke Adam into existence, he was created out of the dust of the ground by the spoken Word of God. Adam had no navel, no umbilical cord. God interrupted his normal physical science laws to accomplish his purpose. And that's why the Bible says, through faith, we understand that the things which are seen are not made of things which do appear. God has the right, if He is God, and He is God, to violate His natural laws. And that is the miracle of creation. Doctors don't like the term miracles. They prefer terms like spontaneous remission. Or you feel that you were healed in a situation. Well, we can't explain it. It must be some type of idiopathic situation that we just can't explain. And they use all these euphemisms. God says, hey, I can do miracles. And notice verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So Noah demonstrated faith. He was warned of God of things not seen of yet. Now look at Genesis chapter 6 very quickly. Genesis chapter 6. And let's take a look a little bit about what Noah had to go against. And by the way, his family. Noah and his family. You take a stand for the Lord, Dad? Children, are you taking a stand for the Lord? You know, when Dad and Mom take a stand, they need to prepare their children to take a stand too. Because children are going to go through the same peer pressure, the same attacks that moms and dads are. That's one of the things that Menno spoke to us about in Israel. The stands that he took, his children had to take those same stands and live out and stand up. And they needed to be taught to stand alone. That's why I always say isolating your kids is not the answer. Insulating your kids with the Word of God and the promises of God. Therein lies the successful method for raising children. And in Genesis chapter 6, look at verse 3. The Lord said, my spirit will not always strive with man, for that he is also flesh. In other words, there comes a time when God's patience runs out. And this is a good proof text for you to use against individuals that harden their neck against the things of God. God says, hey, I'll exercise mercy, but there comes a time when my patience runs out. I'll not always strive with man, But then he says this, yet his days shall be 120 years. Basically, what that means is this. Some Bible commentators say, well, that's the lifespan of man. No, it has nothing to do with man. Man lived a lot longer than that if you look at the context. What it's saying is that from the time that God made that pronouncement, it was going to be 120 years to the flood, when the judgment and the hammer would fall on unbelieving mankind. By inference, we like to say Noah preached 120 years. I don't know that you can prove that. It probably indicates that Noah preached a long time. Probably over 100 years Noah preached. And you know, in 100 years, just think of family and loved ones. They would have had to have taken a stand for the Lord as well. And here we have Noah's faith. Look at verse 8. In spite of all of the wickedness, verse 5, that is spoken of, verse 8 says, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The faith of Noah. Look at verse 14. The Lord told Noah, make an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark. Pitch it within and without. And what takes place? Look at what the Word of God says in verse 22. Noah did according to all that God commanded him. See, faith that does not manifest itself in obedience is not faith at all. Sometimes we as Christians can equate faith with a doctrinal statement. The Lord says, hey, I don't care about your doctrinal statement if you're not living what you profess to believe. You see, that's the concept. Not just a piece of paper or an articles and bylaws, but what we believe in. The faith of Noah. You look at chapter 7 and verse 5, it says here, Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. It's repeated again. Faith is obeying God and believing God. And it was an ongoing faith. I mean, here he is preaching perhaps 120 years, and yet he didn't quit. He didn't modify his message. He didn't say, well, you know, it's been a while since I've been preaching this. Let me modify it and say that maybe the Lord is going to judge in some other means. No, he proclaimed the word of God. 2 Peter 2:5 says that Noah was a preacher of righteousness. So he took a stand against the moral degeneration of his day. And even his children undoubtedly would have been mocked, but his children saw that he lived and he preached what he lived. And it was an observable faith. Look at verse 1 of chapter 7. It was an observable faith. The Lord said to Noah, come thou and all thine house into the ark. You see, when you obey God, Dad, the Lord's going to bless. And notice, his obedience resulted unto the saving of his house. And it says, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation. So Noah took a stand against his generation. Now, is God a rewarder of them that diligently seek him? Absolutely. Hebrews 11:6 tells us about that. And it was an observable faith. Observable by God and also observable by his family as well. It was faith. Being warned of God of things not as of yet. It didn't rain back in those days. The Word of God says there was a mist that watered the ground. Here, he's preaching of things not as yet seen. I've had people come up to me and say, Pastor John, you know, one of the problems, you're a nice guy and all that, but you know, one of your problems, Pastor John, is that you're preaching about pie in the sky. You talk about heaven. You talk about being with Jesus. But you know what? We want to hear about, you know, messages that make a difference, like social change and social relevancy and how you can change society and you know, how you can improve the people that are out on the street and really making a difference on the earth. Well, you know, the Word of God tells us here that Noah preached the Word of God of things not seen of yet. There are people probably telling Noah, Noah, why don't you get relevant? Why are you always talking about something that we haven't seen yet? Why in the world are you talking about this rain and this flood? Look at all the needs around us. Why don't you get involved with... And you know what? The problem is this. The devil would just love for the church to get involved in social programs. You know, I haven't been around forever, but I've been preaching for 32 years, and I have seen mission organizations go liberal in the time that I've been in the ministry. And it's so easy for mission agencies to put the emphasis on the wrong syllable. For the mission organizations to start proclaiming social gospel and how we can better the foreign field with road work and construction, but winds up forgetting the main reason why they're there, which is the proclamation of the gospel. And mainline denominational missions have done exactly that. They've gone into so much social good things. The devil would love for us to get involved in good things, but forget the saving of the soul and preaching the gospel. He would just love for the church to run around like a chicken without a head, dealing with social reform and all types of programs which are beneficial, but what happens is that we use all of our energy for that and we forget worldwide proclamation of the gospel, church planting, which is all critical. There is a place for social help and social betterment, but it's the result of the regenerated life. It's not in place of the regenerated life. When you get people saved, you know what? It's going to have a tremendous impact on how much they spend on alcohol. It's going to have a tremendous impact on how they budget their money and whether they bring their groceries home. You get a father saved and he's going to be a provider for his home. He's going to take his kids to church. He's going to automatically begin to better society because he's bettering his own life. And we must not forget the Great Commission. Social reform, contrary to Vernon Grounds and others like him within the veil of new evangelicalism, but social reform is not the Great Commission. Social reform is a byproduct of the Great Commission. Do you get the difference, dear people? If we lose sight of what I just said, we might as well not even call ourselves a fundamental work. We might as well just take our seat in the platform of new evangelical churches across Central Florida. Because the Word of God teaches the primacy of salvation and discipleship, and the Lord is not interested in reforming the world. We studied last Sunday, this world is destined to destruction. And the Word of God says God has one future for this world, and it's going to be burnt up with fire. We're to snatch people out of the fire. The word church means a group called out. The Lord's going to rapture. The Word of God says evil men shall wax worse and worse. Now, if we're going to believe in a post-millennialism, or the concept of that the world's getting better and better and the church is some kind of a leaven, that's unbiblical as a concept. The faith of Noah was that he gave himself to God's priorities even though others tried to redefine the agenda. And today we see all these denominational books coming out saying, try this, try that, do this, do that, and we forget the Great Commission. How let's be careful about that. The faith of Noah was believing God. Notice the fear of Noah. Back to Hebrews 11, shall we? Hebrews 11. What does it say in verse 7 about the fear of Noah? By the way, if you're going to have faith, you better have fear. Fear means this. If I don't have faith and obey God, you know what? He's going to take me to the woodshed. The fear of Noah. Notice, he was moved with fear. Noah's fear of God was greater than his fear of man. By the way, is God calling you to do something, but you have such fear of men that you're hesitant to do it because you're afraid, oh, if I do what God wants me to do, I'll lose my job, I'll lose my position, I'll lose my... Your fear of man is greater than your fear of God then. If you're allowing people to intimidate you. Some young people have had a practice to carry their Bible to the public school and to read it at break time. But because a few kids made fun of them, oh, well, I'm not going to bring my Bible anymore. The fear of man is greater than their fear of God, you see. But we need to trust God and follow Him. He was moved with fear. You know, Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But fools, such as lived in the days of Noah, they despise wisdom and instruction." The faith of Noah, he obeyed God despite the odds. The fear of Noah, he feared God rather than man. Now let's look at the family of Noah. It says in verse 7, he prepared an ark to the saving of his house. I want to challenge every man here to obey God for the saving of your house. I want to challenge everybody listening to this message to do right for the saving of your house, for the saving of your family. Obey God and trust Him. Do right, and God will bless you to the saving of your family. You know, I think of the scripture in Acts chapter 16. You take a look at that scripture in Acts chapter 16, a tremendous verse of scripture. We quote it often as an evangelism verse. Acts 16, here we have the Philippian jailer. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. What's the rest of the verse? And thine house. Now, what does that mean? Household salvation? Dad gets saved, everybody's saved automatically? No. It's saying this. When dad gets his heart and life right with God, God establishes a beachhead in that home. And the general pattern is that the rest of the family will follow. As a matter of fact, proof that it wasn't household salvation was that Paul and Silas had to go to the home, verse 32, and proclaim to all that were in the house. And then after they heard, they got saved. You know, in Vacation Bible School, there were children that wound up getting saved and were concerned about their brothers and sisters or their friends that they brought. They'd come to me, come to some of our teachers and say, "Pray for so-and-so. He's not saved." They were concerned, you see, about family, friends, those that were in the house. How can we do anything less? Basically, Noah's faith became an avenue whereby his house was saved. What if Noah had caved? What if Noah had, over the hundred and some odd years, just kind of stopped getting up early to build? What if he had just said, "That does it. I'm so tired of being blackballed and made fun of. You know, my kids are getting so much in the school system that they're going to turn against the God. They're going to turn against my God if they get bitter. You know, I don't want them to get bitter against God by being made fun of all the time. Maybe I need to kind of cool it a little bit. Cool my tools, so to speak, you know. And not use them and build this ark. Maybe I just kind of need to hold off and see if God tells me something else. Get some more instructions. Maybe I heard them wrong the first time." No. Noah did right, and he trusted God with his kids. Some parents, listen to me now, some parents want to be friends with their kids. Some parents think, if I'm going to get my kids on my team, I got to look like them, act like them, go the where they go, and I got to be a little cool, and I'm not going to take the stands that I really need to as a dad, because I want to be liked by my kids, so I'll let them go to the dances, And I'll let them go to the junior seniors, and they'll, you know, I'll let them go, and I'll extend the curfew, and I'll let them go dating around and not be concerned. And parents think that the way to keep their kids on their team is by being liberal and not drawing any lines or standards. And that is wrong. I'm here to tell you, you need to establish parameters. And you better back them up when you establish them. We heard that from Menno, didn't we, last Sunday? Otherwise, we're going to be a cardboard Barney Fife policeman in our home with a bullet in the pocket and a rusted gun. Doesn't work that way. The family of Noah was blessed, and the children respected his stands because he was willing to obey God. Let's look at the focus of Noah. Back to Hebrews. Hebrews 11, verse 7. The faith of Noah, the fear of Noah, the family of Noah. Look at his focus. You know, if you don't focus, you're not going to hit the target. He focused, it says here, by the which he condemned the world. His focus, he had a focused message. He had his eyes fixed on God. Noah took a stand that led his family in God's pathways and not the world's. That was where his focus was. That was his purpose. Joshua, in his last counsel, you remember in Joshua 24:15, he said, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." He said, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." Noah made that decision. Finally, let's close with the latter part of verse 7 now. The fortune of Noah. Yes, there is a fortune. Oh, it may not enable you to be an accredited client. It may not enable you to win the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. But you know what? Your riches will be in heaven. It says he became an heir. That's his fortune. He became an heir of the righteousness which is by faith. He let his family in the pathway of the Lord. His family was with him in heaven. Again, God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I like that word heir. He became an heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Let's close by looking at Romans 8:16. Speaking about our being heirs, look at Romans 8:16. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if we are children, we are heirs. Heirs of God. Joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with Him. There's going to be suffering. All those who live godly in Christ will suffer persecution. Young person, if you think you can make it through public school or even, listen, Christian school without being made fun of for your stand, I don't care where you go, wherever you go, you can find the wrong crowd. And you know, it's interesting to observe young people and how quickly they polarize. And how quickly you will see compatibility of rebellion, oftentimes by just following the pathway of the clusters that develop. And the Word of God tells us that we are to take a stand for the Lord. Yes, the Christian life will involve suffering. And our children will experience it. We need to prepare them to stand alone. And the best way to do it is to be an example. When we suffer, right behavior, a right attitude, a persistence, a perseverance, and a confession of faith to back it, and an attitude of bringing trials and problems to God in prayer. When you're going through suffering, when you're going through financial need, when you're despitefully used and spoken evil of, how do your children see you respond, Dad? Angry? Flying off the handle, or do they see you bringing problems to the Lord in prayer, committing them to Him? That's going to make the difference. Well, heirs, joint heirs, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be glorified together. Do you evidence your sonship in Christ? Let's be Noah's serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I know not. No one moving around, please, during the invitation time. I just want to share this very quickly because I need to speak to you as a pastor in my heart. Some of you may be going through a real trial in your home, and you're tempted, listen, you're tempted to modify your stand because you think in your own heart and mind that it's going to work out if you just cut the corners a little bit. Let me share with you right now, stay true to God's word. Wait on His timing. Now, will you take that trial you're going through right now and commit it to God? Will you do that? Commit it to Him. Pray that prayer, dear Lord, may my faith rest upon You. And dear Lord, may my children be motivated towards a solid stand for You through my example. Father, I pray for each burden. I know that there are several heavy hearts through trials and testings. Many, Lord, may be facing wayward children or times of trial. Lord, help us to see by faith that, Lord, sometimes it's a snapshot image, but we haven't seen the whole picture yet. You're still working in the hearts and lives of our children. You could still bring them back and work in their hearts. Lord, it may be that our preaching time isn't over yet. We need to just trust You and keep on doing right and trust You with the results. And Lord, I pray that if there's one, even through the internet or the radio ministry, that is needing to hear this message, Lord, may You challenge their hearts to follow You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.